Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parivraj Acharya Stotra Sarasvati Shri Srimad Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Samsthapak Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Shakho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Ko Gopinath Sham Kun Radha Kun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadip Dham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Ki Jai. Kangamayi Ki Jai. Jamanamayi Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kalu Idam Mahad Ascharyam Yat Raja Prakate Tava Vasudeve Bhagavati Sattva Atmani Jiddha Matihi Kavidam Maharashtrajam Yad Raja Prakate Stava Vasudeva Bhagavati Satvatmani Jadhamatihi Kavidam Maharashtrajam Yad Raja Prakrite Stava Vasudeva Bhagavati Satvatmani Jadhamati. Kavidam Maharashtrajam Yad Raja Prakrite Stava Vasudeva Bhagavati Satvatmani Jadhamati. Vasudeva Bhagavati Kavidam Maharashtrajam Yad Raja Praja Prakateshtava Vasudeva Bhagavati Satvatmani Dhritamatihi. Ladies, Kavira Maharashtrajam Yadraja Prakateshtava Vasudeva Bhagavati Satvatmani Dhritamatihi. Kalu, indeed, idam, this, mahat, ascharjam, great wonder, yat, which, rajaha, influenced by the mode of passion, prakrite, whose nature, tava, of you, Vasudeva, in Lord Krishna, Bhagavati, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sattva Atmani, who is situated in pure goodness, Jiddha, firm, Matihi, consciousness. Over Trasura, demons are generally conducted by the mode of passion. Therefore, what a great wonder it is that although you are a demon, you have adopted the mentality of a devotee and have fixed your mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, who is always situated in pure goodness. Purport. King Indra wondered how Vritrasura could have been elevated to the position of an exalted devotee. As for Prahlad Maharaj, he was initiated by Narad Muni, and therefore it was possible for him to become a great devotee, although he was born in a family of demons. For Vritrasura, however, Indra could not detect such causes. Therefore, he was struck with wonder that Vritrasura was such an exalted devotee that he could fix his mind without deviation upon the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Vasudev. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jina. Well, I'll tell you the same thing I told some other group the other day. I'm offering obeisances because it's my duty to do so before the class. And you can also chant or not, I don't care. But if you're going to chant, don't go ahead of me. Okay? Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Tathati Shapadantikam. Kalviram Maharashtrajam Yad Raja Prakritestava Vasudeva Bhagavati Satvatmani Dhritamati. Maharashtrajam, it's very surprising. How is this demon suddenly turned out to be a devotee? Vritrasura was a first-class demon, and still he's speaking first-class Krishna conscious philosophy. So Maharashtrajam, it's very wonderful. Indra couldn't figure out, how has this person become, because sometimes you can see, oh, just like that prostitute, she was a prostitute, but she became a great devotee by the influence of Haridas Thakur. For the hunter, he became a great devotee by contact with Narad Muni. So sometimes we were Jagai Madhai, they became great devotees by the contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu. So sometimes we see, yes, this person was very degraded, but by connection with the devotee, he's become transformed. Shujyanti tasmai Prabhu Vishnave Nama. But here, there's no apparent cause. So it's Maharashtrajam. It's unexpected. There's no explanation. It's puzzling. It's astonishing. That sometimes happens also. That we can't figure out, how is this person becoming Krishna conscious? This person, he should be the last person to take a book. He should be the last person to come to the temple. He should be the last person to be chanting Hare Krishna. And he's chanting, he's taking the book, he's coming to the temple. Sometimes we're also astonished that how is this possible? Because what do we know after all? Our knowledge is limited. We're only familiar with a small sphere of information in our immediate locality. What do we know? The soul has his life of Krishna consciousness extending on over many, many lifetimes. Bahunam janmanam. So how he's making progress in Krishna consciousness, what unknown spiritual advancement he's already made, what obstacles may have intervened to hold him back or to place him in awkward material circumstances, we don't know. Krishna knows, but we don't know. The person himself may also not know. But these things are great long histories that extend over many lifetimes. That will be explained later by how by some past history, the Chitraketu became a demon, and so on. So, meanwhile, Maharashtrajam, even for Indra, who's the king of the demigods, it's a great surprise, great astonishment. Yadraja prakritestava, because you're supposed to be in the mode of passion as a demon. The Raja and Tama should be prominent. Rajagun, especially. Raja Prakriti, a demonic, passionate demon. But Vasudeva Bhagavati Sattvatmani Dridhamati. The Lord Vishnu is in the mode of pure goodness. Sattva Atmani. His person is completely goodness. He's all goodness absolute. In the material world, these three gunas are there, but they're not found in pure form. That's explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes goodness is mixed with passion, sometimes passion is mixed with ignorance, sometimes two overcome the another one, sometimes that one overcomes. So they're always competing. But in the spiritual world, there's Vishuddha Sattva. Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Sabditam. Therefore, this Vasudeva Shabda, Krishna is also known as Vasudeva, indicates pure goodness. The Vasudeva, Krishna, is always in pure goodness, unalloyed goodness. And that's a transcendental mode, because elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam it said that in the spiritual sky there's no influence of goodness, passion, or ignorance. And yet it said that Lord Vishnu is in the mode of pure goodness. That means that pure goodness is not the goodness of this material world. The goodness of this material world is relative. Someone's very philanthropic, someone's very gentle, someone's very cultured, someone's very intellectual, so we say he's in goodness. Someone's very clean. That goodness is mundane. Harava bhakta shukado mahadguna. Therefore, even if he has all these qualities, if he's not a devotee of the Supreme Lord, he has no good qualities. He has no good qualities. So these are relative qualifications, to be good, to be this, to be that. But the goodness of Lord Vishnu is absolute. Therefore, Vasudeva Bhagavati Sattvatmani. Bhagavan is Vasudev, which is synonymous with Vishuddha Sattva. Well, actually, to engage in the service of Vasudev, one has to come to the Vasudev platform. To engage in the service of Krishna, who's completely pure, one also has to be purified. To enter into the spiritual world, one also has to be freed from material coverings and resume his spiritual position. Just like to enter fire, you have to become fire. If you try to enter fire now in your present body, it won't work. You'll be burnt. But if you assume a fiery body, you can enter into the fire. There are so many living beings living on the sun, living in the fire also, because they have fiery bodies. Just as there are living beings all over the earth in different atmospheres, some of them are living just like these penguins. They're living in the ice. They're walking on the ice, and they're very happy there. We won't be very happy there. We can't survive. But they have a different body. They can live there. Under the water, you can't survive for more than 2-3 minutes. But the fish are living there very happily, spending their whole lives under the water. So there are different atmospheres. So similarly, in the sun or in the fire, it's a different atmosphere. And living beings with appropriate bodies can live there. But none of the bodies of this material world are appropriate for living in the spiritual sky. Nor is the subtle body of the conditioned soul suitable for entrance into the spiritual world. So to enter into contact with the personality of Godhead, or to enter into the kingdom of the personality of Godhead, one has to come to this platform of Vishuddha Sattva, becoming purified of all material contamination. Therefore, even the Mayavadis can't enter into the actual kingdom of God because avishuddha buddhaya, their intelligence is not quite purified. Even if they're free from this bodily identification, they have a spiritual misidentification, and therefore they can't appreciate, can't enter into the kingdom of the personality of Godhead. They have to content themselves with being absorbed in the Brahma Jyoti and then returning to this material world. Well, the Lord is always in pure goodness. So one has to come to goodness, pure goodness, to properly engage in the service of the Lord. Therefore, this some purifying process is required. Either the yoga system or temple worship system or jagya system, or in Kali Yuga, Kalautad Hari Kirtanan, the Sankirtan system is recommended for purification of consciousness. And by the power of the holy name, one can be freed by the hearing, by chanting, Tada Rajas Tamo Bhava Kama Lopada Yastriye Cheta Etarana Vidham Stitam Sattve Prasidati. By hearing the message of Krishna, by chanting the message of Krishna, the holy name of Krishna, one can be freed from passion and ignorance and lust and greed. Adi, lust, greed, kam, krodh, lobh, mada, moha, matsarja. One can be freed from all of these and come to the mode of goodness. And dridha, not just flit around or flit around and land for a few moments in the mode of goodness and then go back to passion and then delve into ignorance. But to be fixed, anybody can be good for a few moments. Even the most mischievous child can be good for 5 minutes. But that's not fixed. It's flickering. But jitta, fixed in Krishna consciousness, fixed in the mode of goodness. In the Bhagavad Gita, yesham trantagatam papam chananam punyakarmana te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam jitta vrita. Who can be fixed in Krishna consciousness? Those who come to the end of all sinful activities. Yesham tu antagatam papam. One can't go on with sinful life and be nicely fixed up in devotional service. One has to give up sinful activities. Therefore, one promises no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex. Because these are the four pillars of sinful life. And if the pillars are demolished, then the whole edifice collapses. So when these sinful activities are stopped, then the subordinate sinful activities also disappear. So yesham tu antagatam papam, illegal activities, sinful activities, they have to stop. And jananam punyakarmanam, and not that the sinful activities stop and there's no activity, but there has to be punyakarma. Legal activities, prescribed activities, beneficial activities, spiritual activities. Te dvandva moha nirmukta. Then one can be freed from duality, freed from the bodily concept of life, and moha, illusion. Otherwise, a sinful person, even hearing the philosophy, even it doesn't register. Nivritta tarshay rupagiyamanam pavosadach trota manobirama ka uttama shloka guna anubhava praman virajyeta bina pashugna. The message of Krishna is the right thing for, it's the right cure for the diseased life of the conditioned soul, and it's very pleasing to the mind and the heart. But the person who's too sinful, especially the animal killer, he just can't get a taste for it. Or we see so many people, you explain to them the glories of the holy name, you explain to them something about Krishna consciousness, and they just can't figure out what you're talking about, because they haven't come to the end of sinful activities. They haven't come to the end of sinful activities. Or someone else, he understands, but he can't get up the determination. I know I should give up smoking, I know I should give up tea, I know I should give up this, I know I should give up that, but I don't know, I try it, I give it up, I gave it up for a week, but then I slipped, and then I gave it up for 2 weeks, but again, I don't know why, and this, that, because he doesn't have the determination. He doesn't have the determination. So one has to give up sinful activities and seriously engage oneself in spiritual activities. Or if one seriously engages in spiritual activities, then it's expected that by sincerely following these spiritual activities, he'll also say, now let me give up this sinful life. Vasovarjam rasopyasya param drishtva nibartate. Or elsewhere it said, vishaya charya she rasa majiya mukhe balo hari hari. These two things are required to appreciate the nectar of Krishna consciousness, the nectar of the holy name of Krishna. To relish the holy name of Krishna. And vishayacharya, to give up sense gratification, excessive sense gratification. Vishaya-charya. Otherwise, if we try to go on advancing in Krishna consciousness, making progress in Krishna consciousness, but holding on firmly to our material attachments, how will we make progress? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the example of the wedding party. I think you know that history. You know the story? Huh? There was some wedding party. The bridegroom was going to the bride's house, and the whole group was going with him. They came to a river, and they told the boatman, now we have to get there in due time for the ceremonies, so now the evening is coming, but if you get us across to the shore by the morning, then we'll reward you very nicely. Boatman said, don't worry, don't worry. So everyone got in the boat, and the boatman started off, and all the men fell asleep, and we'll wake up and we'll be there. So they woke up, and they were not there. In fact, they were still in the same place where they started. So then there was a big controversy, a big fight, actually. You know, everybody's calling everybody names, and everybody's accusing everybody, and everybody's threatening to beat the other person. And so everyone's getting on the case of the boatman. And the boatman said, no, I don't know, I don't understand. I've been faithfully doing my duty. I've been rowing all night. Then someone discovered that the anchor was still in the water. So he's rowing all night, and he's going nowhere. So similarly, one may go on chanting. We say that mantra sometimes. But you can go on chanting from millions of births, but if you commit offenses, you won't get the result. We may go on with our spiritual activities, but if we remain attached to this material enjoyment and try to have both things, it'll fail. Or another example, you keep one foot in the boat and one foot on the shore. Where will you go? Maybe you'll fall in the water. But you have to take your foot off the shore, get in the boat, and then you'll go. Not think, well, I don't know if the boat is safe, I don't know if it's a good boat, I don't know if I trust the boatman, I'll keep one foot on the shore. No, you have to get in and go. So we want to go back to Godhead, but we also want to keep our material security, our material happiness, our material standard of sense enjoyment, so that we don't miss anything. We don't miss anything. That means our knowledge is not mature. We're thinking, oh, I don't want to miss, but that thing that I'm missing is the cause of my misery. All you're really going to miss is your suffering. But you think that, no, without this, I won't be happy without that. Just like sometimes they warn you in the airplanes that if there's an emergency landing, you have to get out. Don't take your baggage with you. So everyone grabs their baggage and tries to get out the aisle and get out the emergency exit. How will they get out? Or a train, same thing. If there's a fire in the train and everybody tries to get their baggage and somehow get out the door, they'll all die. In such a situation, forget your baggage, forget your whatever it is, get your body out the door. So, similar thing, that don't think, what about my this, what about my that? Go back to Godhead. That means give up these material attachments. So this is Jodhavrata. Jodhavrata. Firm vow, not a shaky vow, not a vow that I keep till Tuesday, not sometimes yes, sometimes no. Jodha nishchayaha. To have firm conviction in the goal of Krishna consciousness and firm determination to achieve that goal. Jodha, not shaking, sometimes on, sometimes off. Jodha nishchayaha. Jodhavrata, Jodhamati. So firm Krishna consciousness. So Indra was astonished that he saw that this demon, who's supposed to be in the mode of passion, is firmly situated in Krishna consciousness. So he's remarking about that. Any questions? Where are we starting? Mm-hmm. Who's got the microphone? We'll start in the back. Back, PJ. Hold on. Let's get things in action here.
We see in the analogy of boat.
It's a little too much action.
That rowing boat.
Okay.
And removing anchor, they are two separate things.
Rowing boat and removing anger are two separate things. True.
So, is it also holds for spiritual life that removing attachment is also different than performing spiritual life, or in the process of spiritual life?
I don't understand. You don't pick on the example. The attachments are not the same as anchors. Boats are not the same as living beings. But the example is, try to understand. Now, what is your question?
We have to have some extra effort to remove attachments or...
Extra what?
Extra effort to remove attachments, or that will just happen in the due course of time.
What's your experience? Is it just happening in the due course of time? Automatically your attachments are disappearing? Tell me. Automatically? And for that matter, the whole world, they've been here for a long time, millions and millions of births. So when are their attachments going to start disappearing automatically by the course of time? You have disease. Will disease automatically cure itself in course of time? Maybe some insignificant disease, but any serious disease, does it just automatically get better?
If someone is engaged in devotional service,
then it's not automatic. Engaged in devotional service means what? That you come to the temple, you sit there, you're counted, yes, he's in devotional service. Just like you're in business. If you're in business, will you automatically make money? Yes, you'll automatically make money. But not just by having a sign on your door, such and such, businessman. You have to do something. And you have to be serious about it. If you're serious about your business, you'll go somewhere. Otherwise, if you just sit behind your desk and read the newspaper, well, what kind of money will you make? Is that okay? Nothing's automatic. Automatic when you follow the process, but the process is not simply coast along. You get in the car doesn't automatically go. It will go, but there's a process. And the process requires concentration also. The process requires your active participation, not just that you get in the car and the car knows, okay, now he's here, so we go. You have to focus. You have to do all the things that you need to do. Utsaha nishchayat tariyat tatat karma pravartan. Next question.
Maharaj, Hare Krishna. How to develop attachment towards Lord Krishna? So what measures we can take?
That's like, you know, that's an everything question. How do you develop, you know, what are we, you tell me, how do you develop attachment for Krishna? You should know. How long have you been here?
1.5 years.
So you don't know what the process is for developing attachment for Krishna?
We are trying, but we are not able to become successful.
That's another thing. But if you're trying, do you know what the process is for trying? I'm not going to give you a new process. All right, you've been trying this Maha Mantra, you've been trying Bhagavatam class, you've been trying devotional service. Now try something else. Process, you know. Just we have to follow it seriously. I'm not going to give a new process. This is the process. This is the best process. Kalo nasteva 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 gatira mita. And the success in the process is known, that while performing the process, 10 kinds of offenses we should avoid. And positive things we should take up, negative things we should give up. Atyahara prayashas cha prajalpa niyamagra. These things. nothing new. As Driddha, we should be determined and stick to it. The saying is in English, Rome was not built in a day. Rome was not built in a day. Anything good, it may take a little time. Therefore, nischaya, dharya, determination, patience. Okay? Yes? I'll give the microphone.
Many times our determination breaks, like if I am trying to control my sleep, but many times what will happen that determination breaks. So how can we make the determination firm?
Have reasonable goals, first of all. I may be determined to sleep, like Raghunath Das Goswami, maybe an hour a night. And I may even succeed for one or two nights. But I'll not succeed long term, because it's not within my scope to do that. He could do it because he was totally absorbed in pure devotional love for Krishna. Didn't matter if he slept. He was transcendental to that. But we're not on that platform, so we have to do something reasonable. So I know how much sleep I can accept and operate. If I try to cut that in half, I'll be in difficulty. I know how much I need to eat. If I eat half, on and on and on, I'll be in difficulty. But maybe I could reduce it by 10%. You see, that's practical. Therefore, one principle of devotional service is, forget how it's expressed in Nectar of Devotion, but basically it's, don't bite off more than you can chew. It's an English expression, to bite off more than you can chew. The meaning is that you want to take a bite of something, so take a bite that you can put in your mouth and chew on, not... So start with a reasonable goal that's achievable. And become fixed in, just like sometimes we advise the person says, I don't think I could ever chant 16 rounds. It's two hours, 3 hours, I never do it. We say, all right, chant one round, but do that solidly. Can you chant one round? Can you spare 5 or 10 minutes? Yes, I can chant one round. So then the person is successfully chanting one round, he's sticking to it, now he's accustomed to it, and after some time we say, why not make it 2 or 3 rounds? Could you do that? Yes. And soon he's chanting 16. But stepwise. Just like I can go from here to the next building, walking step by step, but if I try to jump in one step, it will be very difficult. So make a vow that's reasonable and stick to it. And then make further progress. Put one foot down, and when the one foot is down and solid on the ground, and pick up the other foot and put that in the next to it. Then when you're solid, make the next. So steady, steady. There's so many who can make a show, you know, this big splash, how advanced they are all of a sudden. And then the next splash is how they fell back into the ocean of Maya. So better steady and slow and steady. They say slow and steady wins the race. Is that okay?
One more question I want to ask. So one question which you previously asked in relation to that. One question.
You have to hold the microphone facing you.
It's
facing up, not facing you.
One question which was previously asked in relation to that I want to ask is that regarding material attachments, Like if I have material attachments, like earning more.
A little slower.
And so, like I have material attachments, like earning money, suppose. So if I am performing devotional service, then will this attachment go slowly, automatically, or will this I have to think upon it and give up?
Earning money. Your question is, why do you want to earn money?
I'm just giving example. There may be some other.
No, but taking this one, someone wants to earn money. Why does he want to earn money?
For his sense gratification.
That's right. Right. No, that's right. He's earning money for sense gratification. So his problem is not earning money. His problem is sense gratification. So sense gratification, by devotional service, he comes to understand that this, what I'm thinking of as sense gratification, is actually miserable. That, like the pig has his sense gratification, he's eating stool, but that's not enjoyment. If I have my sense gratification, some meat eating, some gambling, some intoxication, some illicit sex, some this and some that, I have this enjoying spirit, and this enjoying spirit is killing me. So he gets some knowledge. And at the same time, he gets some taste that Krishna consciousness, I'm actually getting sense gratification. So it's like last night we had a nice program, all kirtan and dancing and nice prasadam. So it's sense gratification. And it's better sense gratification. On the way home, when we drove past so many restaurants, and we're thinking, you know, we just came from the temple, and we know what kind of food they had there. And now we're driving past the restaurants, and we know what kind of food they have there. Now, which is better? Forget spiritual advancement, just for sense gratification even. So there's better sense gratification here. And then when you consider that it's all offered to Krishna, and it has spiritual value, and it's cooked with love and devotion, and there's no matlabi, nasty consciousness mixed in, then you think this is really better. So the combination of two things, the knowledge by which you understand the inferior quality of what we think of as sense gratification, and on the positive side, the knowledge of the higher value of spiritual sense gratification or spiritual engagement, plus the actual taste for that spiritual engagement. By a combination of all these, the lower habit, lower taste becomes distasteful. And when we think of the things that we used to do for sense gratification, we think, oh, what a fool I was. You see? So that will come by devotional service. Then he thinks, instead of trying to gratify my senses, why don't I gratify Krishna's senses? And I'll be more happy. Instead of going out to the store and decorating myself with a nice suit and two jewelry, why not do something so that Krishna is nicely decorated? And everyone will enjoy seeing me. The more expensive my suit, and the more everyone becomes envious of me. But if I can dress Krishna nicely, the more everyone will be pleased. Yes.
Raj, in connection with the same question, we say that we are getting sense gratification in Krishna consciousness. So, and basically, still our devotional which we are performing for...
You're fading out here. Go ahead.
The question is, when we are coming to Krishna consciousness, we think we get some better prasad, nice kirtans and good association, so we feel it's some mental peace of mind and some intellectual satisfaction is there. But still, as we progress in devotional service, we are attached to these things. So in the long
run,
these activities, so that I am getting happiness, I am getting peace of mind, I am getting good prasad. So center is always I am the center. The center is not, I should do it to please Krishna, or I should not be attached to the my sense gratification. So somehow we don't really know whether we are doing
therefore
it for ourselves.
Therefore one has to become advanced.
Yeah, whether you are doing it for ourselves or for Krishna.
Yeah, therefore in the beginning, naturally I am interested in myself. Hardly anyone comes to the movement thinking that I just realized that I don't care what happens to me anymore. I just want to please Krishna. Regardless. Who comes like that? People come, I'm getting a bad deal in the material world, can you offer me a better deal? Yes, we can offer you a better deal. All right, I'm coming. So he's interested in his own swartha, his own benefit. And we help him because most people don't know. Nate vidu swartha katimhi Vishnu. Most people don't know their self-interest. So this is also self-interest. Fortunately, self-interest corresponds to the interest of Krishna. What's actually your self-interest, not what you're interested in, but what's actually in your interest, is the devotional service of Krishna. So in the beginning we come thinking, okay, I'm interested in sense gratification, they're giving better sense gratification, I'll go. But as we associate with devotees, as we hear the philosophy, as we engage in the process, our consciousness becomes purified. And we think that I may get my spiritual sense gratification or not, I just want to serve Krishna. In the beginning, we're conditional. When it's fun, I do it. When it's enjoyable, I do it. And when it's hardship, I'm on the sidelines. But as one advances, then one thinks that I may get enjoyment or not. Just like Prabhupada, he came to America. America's not a place for a sannyasi to enjoy in. Prabhupada didn't come to play in the snow in New York. And Vrindavan is so nice, every kind of nice food, nice darshan, nice Krishna katha, nice sadhus, nice temples, nice deities, nice kirtan, everything nice. And Prabhupada left all that to go to a miserable, hellish place where there is nothing. That's called love for Krishna. That's called selfless. That for the sake of Krishna, I'll go to hell also. So that will come in the advanced, as we advance.
Another part of this question, we talk of four regulative principles. And what these four principles?
Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. Striyam shunam, panam striyam shunam. What is that? Panam dutam striyam shunam, yatra dharma chatur vidha. It's in the first canto in connection with the punishment and reward of Kali. The permission was given to Kali that you can stay yatra adharma chaturvida, in the places where four kinds of adharma are going on. What is that adharma? Dutam, gambling. Panam, drinking, intoxication. Striyam, illicit sex. And shunam, meat eating. So it's there, Srimad Bhagavatam. Is that good enough?
Not directly in Gita, directly Shloka is not speaking about it, any particular...
The summary is given, yet yesham tautu antakatam papam, freed from all sins. Freed from all sins.
But calling these activities as sinful, I mean any particular...
It's all there. Just like Krishna is not giving everything, because it's 700 verses, he can't give every detail. But you'll find, just like non-vegetarian diet, Krishpatram Pushpam Palam Tayam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati, this is what you can offer. And if you eat anything other than what's offered, then punjate te tukam papam. So there's your meat eating. And there's also your intoxication, because you can't offer your liquor to Krishna. And also in the Bhagavad Gita you find this is the mode of ignorance, intoxication. And meat eating also. The description is there of food in the three modes, things which are decayed, things which are nasty. So meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex also, in the Bhagavad Gita. Dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava. I'm sex, which is dharma viruddha. It's not against the regulative principles. Therefore it's implied that there are regulative principles. So these things, they're not gone into in detail, but from Bhagavad Gita you'll find them. If you look carefully, you'll see that they're there. The summary is, yesham tu antakatam papam. You have to come to the end of sinful activities. Then you can find out further what are those sinful activities. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's been made very explicit. Yatra dharma chaturvida.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
And why are you trying to get out of it anyway? They're asking the question, are these things mentioned specifically in Bhagavad Gita? That means you want to do it. If it's not specifically mentioned, you want to go on with that sinful activity. Right? It's not just an academic interest question. You want to know, well, why can't I go on smoking? Why can't I go on drinking? Why can't I go on with boyfriend, girlfriend? Why can't I go on? That's the real purport. But that means you haven't come to the point, yesham tu antakatam papa. But that point one has to reach. And it's not only Srimad Bhagavatam, in many other books, Manava Dharma Shastra and Puranas, so many places you'll find these things condemned. You won't find any scripture. Yes, parastri is very good. Illicit sex, very good. The more you have illicit sex, the more you'll make spiritual progress. You won't find, yes, become intoxicated and make spiritual advancement. Krishna doesn't specifically say, because everybody knows it, but these things are there. So you tell your friend, you know, stop the farce. You know, it's sinful, you know it's sinful, I give you so much evidence it's sinful. Now let's get to the real point, stop.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have seen a particular kind of people exhibiting a particular behavior, like they are very emotional and they exhibit a great taste for hearing or taste for even speaking about the Lord or glorifying the Lord. But we also observe the same people exhibiting great anger for their own sense gratification. So in Srimad Bhagavatam we see the taste for hearing the glories of the Lord or speaking has been considered one of the parameters of spiritual advancement. So sometimes even neophyte people, we see them emotionally attracted to chanting and singing and dancing, and it appears that they have a great emotion in their heart, and we feel our heart is bereft of.
But it's only emotion.
Krishna consciousness.
It's not substantially rooted. Therefore, sometimes we see a person's coming and he's dancing and he's crying. Prabhupada commented one time, first to cry, first to dry. The first person to cry is also the first person to dry up and go away. Mm-hmm. So, of course, to have that feeling, that emotion, is very nice. He likes to sing and dance, and if he goes on with that, he'll make progress. But in the beginning, especially if we see these other symptoms there, calm, crowd, low, mada, moha, I'm sorry, we understand that he's not yet factually situated on the platform of steady spiritual advancement. Some little taste is there, some fortunate attraction is there. Now he has to come to the regular process. This is the difference between sentimental and steady. Sentimental, he may be the greatest devotee, he's the most generous, he's the most full of praise, and you know, so many things. He's the greatest devotee you ever met. But that's for one night or 10 minutes or a week or something. Because it's mostly driven by his sentiment, by his feeling. But he has no substantial knowledge. He has no substantial knowledge. Or his knowledge, he knows, he may also have good sentiment, good knowledge, but he doesn't follow any systematic process. He's not engaged in the systematic process. So even though he knows, even though the sentiments are there, after dancing in ecstasy and speaking so nicely the philosophy, he goes off and has a cigarette. Because he's not firmly established in the process. Therefore, we emphasize the process. That someone who's begun the process, if he sticks with the process, he'll come to the right conclusion. You enter the school, you take the tests, you study the lessons, you follow the instructions of the teacher. Gradually, you'll come to the point, graduate, postgraduate, MA, PhD, everything. But if sometimes just 1 week you get really enthusiastic and you read books like anything, and you think, wow, this is fantastic, this is great, there's so much here, and I'm going to study this for the rest of my life. And then the next week you forget all about it, and no, you have to enroll in the school, systematically study the classes. And even the slow student who's in the process, while the other guy is long since gone, he'll finally come to the point, yes, now here's your certificate. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. As we progress in spiritual life, as you had mentioned earlier, we develop the spiritual intelligence to understand what is actually for sense gratification and what is in Krishna's service. So many of these testing times, we can hear in our heart, especially when we trying to overcome the old habits, there are two distinct clear voices inside. You know, one is pushing towards you to sense gratification, and other is shouting that it is totally incorrect. So I just wanted to know, who are these two people? Are these mind and intelligence, or soul versus super soul, or Maya versus likewise? Who are these distinct
voices? You can say Maya and Krishna, or Mr. Intelligence and Mr. Lust. Kamesha Krodhesha. That question was asked by Arjuna. Balad, even the Yorjita, even without desiring, one is sometimes practically feels forced to do something. Why? Kamesha Krodesha Rajaguna Dasamudra. Because Rajaguna is there and calm, lust is there, anger is there. So even though he knows better, still he's doing these things. Tasmat Tvamindriyanyato Miyamya. Therefore, very systematically, with great determination, from the very beginning, one has to cut down these lusty desires and kamopapoga. So that's also part of the process. And of course, process means also imperfection. That while we're engaged in the process, we don't always succeed. Sometimes we know, but we can't help it. So then there's some fall down. Of course, Krishna consciousness means that we've set a standard that this is the minimum. Below this, I will not go. I will not chant less than 16 rounds. I will not break any of these four regulative principles. Maybe one day I'll overeat. Maybe one day I'll sleep too much. But I'm not going to break these four rules. That much is, that's a vow. This is the minimum. I will not do these things. Otherwise, if we go below that, it's very harmful. Otherwise, it's within the practice. There's no place within the practice, well, let me, you know, little bit smoking, little bit. It's not, no. But within the practice, we want to keep going up, going forward, and we set a standard for ourselves that I'm going to do this and do this, and I'm not going to do that. And sometimes we don't meet our expectations, or we don't meet our objectives. So those two voices are there, and we listen to the wrong one. And then, usually, very quickly, we think, got me again. Again, I listened to the wrong voice, and now I'm in difficulty, or I just wasted my time. I didn't, you know. So that's within the practice. And by practice, 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 when you get better and better at it, and you start telling that other voice, forget it, and you tell this voice, yes, very good, Kodashye Vachanam Tavadu, what do you say? Is that okay? Yes? Back. PJ.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I heard from authority that Krishna consciousness is not a comfortable situation. And sometimes, because of some services, like for example festival days, we stretch ourselves beyond our capacity. But then on the other day, it affects our japa because of less sleep. So as you were telling in the beginning that one should always try to see his goals, how much he can achieve, personal goals. So how we can understand this and how to maintain our things in a balanced manner?
It's like in athletics, gymnastics, you stretch yourself a little bit. If you try to do too much, you won't last. And if you always do just what you're doing now, you won't gain. So the practice is that you try to do a little bit more. If you can jump over a bar that's this high, then the next time you'd set it a little bit higher. Uh-huh. So that's our program, not to try to achieve the impossible. Then we'll just be frustrated or we'll go crazy. And not simply to coast along with the level at which we're accustomed, because then we're not making progress. But little stretching to do some more. Otherwise, complacency. One becomes fat and lazy. But a little bit more, a little bit more. And sometimes, you know, you set it a little bit higher and you make some let's see what I can do. Hmm? And you may be surprised that I thought that only this much more I could do, but actually this much more I can do. So you come to a, you know, a new standard. So we, that's a little bit of the art of management also, Prabhupada said. The manager should always be setting a new challenge, a new goal, a new something to achieve. Because that way the other members, they won't fall victim to this complacency, and that actually breeds unhappiness. You know, if I'm always just doing the same thing, the same routine, no challenge, no. And after I just become dull, it becomes uninteresting, it becomes routine. But if I'm set, well, now see if you can do more, see if you can do more, then it becomes refreshing, actually, enlivening. I could do more, you see. But within a certain context, so that there's both things. There's regularity, there's evenness, and there's also progress. Is that okay? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, we have done many activities in the past before coming to Krishna consciousness. The memories of these acts, they again and again strike us now and disturb us from time to time. Sometimes we fight, but more often we lose. So what can be done about
it? Chaitadarpanamarjanam. Therefore this chanting process. And it may take some time because we're full of impressions, not only from this lifetime, but from many lifetimes. But taking this lifetime, so many things, so much garbage is in the mind. So it may not disappear in a weekend, but if we stick to the process, then the mind will fill with Krishna, and Krishna will drive out the garbage. Presence of Krishna will drive out yaha Krishna taha maya nahi arikar. Pretty soon, how old are you?
It's 23, Maharaj.
You're 23. So in 23 more years, you'll be 46, and you'll have spent half your life in Krishna consciousness movement. Huh? And so many of your memory, you'll have 23 years of memories of devotional service. Now you have 23 or however long, depending how long you've been with us. How long have you been a devotee?
Around 2.5-3 years.
20, so you can subtract that, so it becomes, say, 20 years before Krishna consciousness. So by the time you're 40, half of your life will just been the experience of devotional service. You have so many memories. One devotee passed away in Vrindavan a few years ago. And he, actually, he, same thing, his past was very sinful, and even he had some fall down and again became engaged in sinful activities. But at the end, he came back to Vrindavan and he was engaged in devotional service. And he was confined to his bed and so on. But he'd done so many years of distributing books that he was filled with memories of book distribution. And some other book distributors came to meet him, and they were remembering, do you remember that time when we went here? Do you remember that time we went there? And that I met this person and I thought I could, he'd never take a book, but then this happened, that happened. He had so many memories of book distribution, because for years and years he'd been distributing books. So his mind at the final point was full of these things, and so many realizations also in connection with that devotional service. So we start out with kind of a deficit. We have no background of devotional activities, you know, maybe a few times we've come to the temple or whatever, and we have a whole lifetime full of everything else. But as you stick with it, then it will turn the other way. But, you know, after 20 years I was engaged in devotional service in Maya, And for 40 years I'm engaged in devotional service. And apart from that, it's not just a question of even match how many years against how many years, but devotional service is very powerful. So svapamapyasya, even a little bit of devotional service, is much more powerful than maya. Therefore, otherwise, why doesn't, when there's darkness and there's maya, why, darkness and there's light, why doesn't the darkness drive away the light? There are two things, darkness and light. Why doesn't the darkness drive out the light? Why does it work the other way around? Because light is more powerful. Or darkness is just the absence of light. So our previous life is the absence of Krishna consciousness, or some weak impressions, which seem to us very strong, but actually weak impressions. And when you get the strong Krishna consciousness, then maya adhikar can't stay. So again, it's patience, determination, but we'll find the process is legitimate, it's working. So after some time, these memories, these impressions, these urges, these habits, these all the garbage from our past way of living is forgotten. Therefore, advanced devotee, and the newcomer, he's struggling with something. How to give up cigarettes or how to give up something. And it's a big struggle. But if you come and see him 10 years later, that thing has become nothing. You ask him, you still have a cigarette problem. You know, the same thing that was a big hurdle for him in the beginning, later it becomes, doesn't even cross his mind. Or if it crosses his mind, he just doesn't want to think about it. And that's the process of advancement.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Just like driving anything, driving a car in the beginning, it's like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to remember to press the accelerator and turn the steering wheel at the same time? But later it's automatic. Yes, there's a question there, and then on the lady's side.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna tells Krishna that my illusion is now over and I accept whatever you say as the absolute truth.
Hmm.
But in the war, when his son dies, he loses composure and he says, either I will kill Jayadratha or I will kill myself. What does it indicate for us?
What is the?
What does it indicate? I mean, so what can we learn from this particular?
When some big catastrophe or big something happens, one may momentarily lose his composure. But then if he's properly trained, he at once pulls himself together. That same thing happened. There are many such instances. You're citing one, but there are many such. That due to something, one forgets. But because he's trained, it quickly snaps in, no, I have to do this. That just like someone got burned the other day. So at first everyone's like bewildered. And then very quickly, there are some people who have experience or they're trained, okay, let's do this and this and this and this. So at first there's just, bewilderment. If you hear a loud sound, at first it's like bewilderment. Then very quickly, especially if you're a military man or, emergency service, this sound must mean this, 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 now I have to do this, this, this. So at first there's just shock or bewilderment or confusion, and it's
quickly, if you're trained, you recover. So even a devotee like Arjun may be momentarily affected by bewilderment or shock or confusion, but very quickly he comes to the point. Ladies, side, there was a question.
Please, Maharaj, this Mataji has a question. She says, while practicing her devotional service, many times she cannot follow Dhrida Nishchaya. How can she overcome?
Can't follow Dhrida Nishchaya. And she has to have Dhrida Nishchaya to be Dhrida Nishchaya. You practice. Why can't you have Dhrida Nishchaya? You can, some Dhrida Nishchaya is there. Same thing. Some standard is there that this much you'll have determination to do. And this much is beyond your determination. So slowly, slowly you have to build up your strength, build up your strength. Some standard is there. Now raise the standard gradually, gradually. Stick to your standard. Whatever your standard is, don't go below that standard. And whatever your standard is, raise it also. Anything else? Who's that? Next question. Front.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, when we are listening to Srimad Bhagavatam or when we are amidst the devotees, we feel that we are engaged in devotional service. But Maharaj, when we go out to work, at that time we are, sometimes we even feel guilty or we don't remember Krishna. And it is said that 24 hours we should remember Krishna.
So give up work.
How can we make the work spiritual? Huh? How can we make the work?
How can we
make the work devotional or spiritualized?
Why do that? Why not give it up?
If one is a family person,
how long? Why not give up the family?
Pardon?
Why not give up the family? For a young man, the advice may be different, but when we're a little older, then why stay working till the end of life? Why not give up working? After all, if I have my duty, I'm a family man, I have to work, I have to balance all of these things. But why should I do that forever? At a certain point, why should I not say that this work is not my real purpose in life? My goal in life is not simply to work and support my family and die at home. But my goal is to become fully Krishna conscious. So why not dedicate my full time for hearing, for chanting, for serving the deities, for preaching Krishna consciousness? And settle up my family life and leave it. If I don't have a family, I don't have to work. And that's actually the duty of every progressive human being. At a certain stage, he should close up his family life and give up his work and dedicate himself fully for hearing, chanting, serving, preaching.
Yes.
Last question.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj has said that about...
Okay, you don't eat the microphone, make it... Yeah.
Maharaj, you said about going higher and higher standards. So, these standards we have to go by ourselves, means...
Therefore, the spiritual master is required. The process, we speak of the process, is performed under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. So under the guidance of the spiritual master, then we understand what to do, that was the last question. And I think I'm sticking for another couple of days, so there can be some more questions. All right. Hare Krishna, glories to Srila Prabhupada.